Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today I have Steve, Sharpie, Chris, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone.
How are you? How do you
hello.
Hello. Hello.
How's it going, Lisa?
It is going just peachy, thank you. You got to say that when you live in Georgia.
Mm. It comes with the territory.
That's right.
Yeah, she's quite the southern girl.
I am. I can't even fake it.
Y'all. Y'all want some coffee?
I can't do it.
That would be sweet tea, Lauren.
Yeah, really.
Y'all want some sweet
but
tea?
But I like coffee.
You don't even have to say sweet. You just say tea. Everybody knows.
It's sweet. All right. Well, on today's show, we're going to be talking about a little bit of Disney news that's been going around. So let's get started with the news. What we're going to start off with is the Polynesian construction. Oh, so much fun.
It's really the neatest construction site you've ever seen. And as far as tidiness goes.
Well, however, far does that actually take you?
Well,
tell that to the people with the theme park view.
Right. I mean, if you have a theme park view and you're in the Hawaii building from the pool, if you're standing at the pool to the right of the pool on over, you're not going to get any kind of view. I mean, they're still telling people.
Almost to the ticket and transportation center.
Right. I mean, well, even past then, because to be quite honest, you know, I actually walked the whole thing. I mean, really, that entire area is just construction. It's not up high. So it's kind of, you know, they can still say, oh, well, you're on the second floor and you can look out and see the theme park. But when you look down, you're going to see a bunch of, you know, construction. So I wouldn't pay for a theme park view there. I would still stay there. I thought it was really quiet while I was there.
Where'd you stay? Maybe did you stay at the Polynesian?
No, I just walked around and took pictures.
And they're doing all this to get ready for the next DVC?
Yes. And it's kind of interesting because you can actually see, and we put pictures up on Mouse Chat, you can actually see the construction going out into the water. So they brought the beach out. That's, I guess, the first thing they did. And then they built it up a tiny bit, and then it goes way out into the water. So you could get a really good view of it if you walk along the beach there, or even if you're on the ferry from the TTC to the Magic Kingdom, you'd get a good view.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're really removing a lot of the views of the Polynesian at the expense of more Disney Vacation Club villas.
Yeah.
Do you think
the commoners are being pushed aside?
It's probably all going to blend in pretty well, and you have to imagine the building's not going to be any higher than the regular Poly buildings, right? I wouldn't think so.
Well, not in the front row. No.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. I mean, I thought the Grand Floridian DVC blended in really well with the rest of the Grand Floridian. So hopefully they do the same thing at the Poly.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad that they're removing the, did you hear the rumors that they're removing the centerpiece kind of the Grand Ceremonial House, the waterfall?
Yeah. That's another rumor that's, I believe there's more truth to that than anything.
I do too.
We were just there for Ohana the other night, and like you can't see evidence of construction in the lobby or any of the public areas yet, with one minor exception, and that's the art gallery on the first floor is now closed. I believe they're going to be expanding Captain Cook's into that area.
That's what I read too. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I always liked that gallery. I thought it was really neat that they had that sort of feature at the Polynesian, especially with the tropical art that specific artist was known for.
Well, and when you consider that there's really not much else going on at the lobby and all that, it's kind of disappointing. So
yeah, I can't imagine what that lobby is going to look like without that as the centerpiece. The other thing they're talking about is that the Poly Pool may be closing in August.
Yeah, it'll be closed
for a year.
Yeah,
it'll be a good long time.
Yeah, from August of 2014 until at least 2015. So, yeah.
So what do the resort guests do in the meantime?
I'm hearing if they're going to be able to use Grand Floridian's pool.
Yeah.
And that's not a far walk.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's certainly further than they would normally have to walk. 15
minutes. Yeah. It's not ideal, but, you know.
It's going to be crowded, though.
Yeah.
I honestly
wouldn't
recommend
people. That's not a very big pool.
Stay there during that point. If you, especially August in the summer, not being able to use the pool right there.
You know, it's almost just best to skip it. You know, try a different resort or skip it for the year.
Yeah.
Of course, all of us would try a different resort.
You know what, though? Lauren and I are still talking about
trying. And that's kind of the logical things to do.
We're actually thinking of trying it in October when we have the Mouse Chat meetup in October, October 18th. But notice how I slipped that in there because I'm clever that way. But yeah, we were talking about trying to get a night there or something. So.
Okay.
Or was it?
I mean, it's good for reporting purposes. It'd be nice to actually stay there and check it out and see what's going on. So it's research.
Well, I haven't stayed there
since. You're there for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a giver.
Well, you know, somebody's got to do it.
Exactly. So someone's got to stay. Those rooms are really pretty. The newly refurbished rooms I thought were really pretty.
They are pretty.
So
I love the grounds at Polynesian, too.
Me, too.
I love
do you know what
torches.
I liked best about? Yeah, the torches are awesome.
You know, I think I'm always there at night, and so I can't really say much about how it looks during the day.
It's pretty. I think it's prettier at night, though. I think the tiki torches make it. I think it's really, really pretty at night.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of, I don't know. I don't know. I like it.
Okay. So Polynesian construction, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a long while. And
yes,
you know, it's like any other construction project. It's going to take time and it's going to be inconvenient and it's going to be loud and it's going to be a bit messy and certainly inconvenient. And in the end, we're going to be left with something wonderful.
Can I ask a question? Chris Sharp, since you are a big DVC fan, are you going to buy any points over there?
If they are priced anywhere near the price of the Grand Floridian points, that is a big NO, Captain.
Yeah.
Yeah, add it to your portfolio.
I think, I really do think, and I mean, there comes a point where buying DVC is no longer even remotely an option for the average family. The savings over the long term and the way it changes the way you vacation makes DVC worth a modest investment of funds. But there comes a point where the number of points you need and the maintenance and carrying costs, it just becomes more of a burden for an average family. And it really goes from that borderline luxury purchase to a very high end luxury purchase. We won't be buying points at the Polynesian.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to our next subject. Let's see. Next subject for news. Ugh, the dreaded ticket price increase. It's just the same complaint every time. And this is the second time in the last 12 months. It's frustrating. And there are little bits of rumors here and there that it's all because this whole MME, you know, My Magic Plus experience is costing too much money and keeps going up in price. So they've got to get their money back somehow. So they raise the ticket prices.
Do you know what I'd like to be? I'd like to be a fly on the wall during the meetings where whoever is in charge of this whole My Disney experience gets yelled at. Because it's been such a mess. And, it's $1.5 billion. And I find that my clients are very happy with the convenience of paying for things with their band and getting in the parks with their band. But nobody likes the fast passes. And if they're having already to raise prices because of it, well, no one's going to like it, you know?
Yeah.
So did they raise prices across the board on all tickets or just the one day?
They did.
Okay.
They did. So I think a 7-day ticket went up $16 is what I read.
Okay. And then I think I read a 1-day was $99.
That went up 10.
Yeah. $5.
Well, $5. 10 in the last year. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, is it 10 in the last year, 5 in the last increase? Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a lot of money. I think it went up four. Is it 4? Okay.
It was 4.
I still think the value you get from like a 5-day ticket, 5 days in the parks, is an incredible amount of things you can do. It's well worth it. But
the 1-day tickets are not worth it.
No.
And Steve will argue this left and right. I don't know if he'll still argue it, but his argument is, you know, for spending $80, $85, $90, there are a lot of things that people do and they spend that much money on 2 hours worth of entertainment. And he always compares it to a concert. True. Why am I making your statement here?
I don't know.
Go ahead. Explain your stance.
Yeah, Steve, go ahead.
Well, I mean, and I don't know what the numbers are anymore, but it used to be when you got a 10-day ticket, you know, it was like $7. You know,
it's 11 now.
All right. So it's $11 to add an extra day to a park. So for $11, you can go a whole day to a Disney park.
You can't look at it that way. You have to look at the average cost over the 7 days.
Yeah. Well, anyways,
I think Disney needs to hold off on price increases more than once a year. I think it is really going to give them a very greedy appearance. I think raising ticket prices 2 times within the same year, I really think that that's going to turn off a lot of people.
Yeah, they should have done it just the one. And I don't know if, I guess they're trying to do it before the summer, before the Mine Train opens, and they're trying to see if Universal will raise their prices again. I don't know. They seem to follow suit with each other every time one raises, the other raises.
I mean, whenever you look at the attendance at the Magic Kingdom over a year, I mean, it's up to what, 17, 18, 19 million people each year visit the Magic Kingdom. So getting one more dollar out of each one of those people adds
pretty
an automatic $17 million to their bottom line. So yes, it's a great business move, but don't do it twice in a year. That's just greedy.
And they're not adding just a dollar.
Exactly.
Their increases are not unfelt. They're not nominal. They're hefty.
Even little things like the price of Coke going up, you know, I mean, since I started kind of paying attention to it, you know, I mean, it's gone from like, you know, it's gone up 50 cents in the last couple of years. Where is that coming from?
It's a lot.
You know, I mean, yeah. Even if they, I don't even care how much Disney pays for it. Just to charge me almost $3 for a Coke is ridiculous.
Well, especially when you've got a family of four, all of a sudden you're paying $12.
Right.
To get some drinks.
It used to be, I would argue that that refillable mug wasn't really that big of a deal. But now I kind of like the idea of having it with a dining plan. Because even though it's only good at your resort, you know, kind of get your money's worth out of it after a couple of days.
Yeah. 2 cups of coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Coffee with a W.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we touched on we touched on the Fast Pass a little earlier, and how some people aren't liking the Fast Pass. So, Chris or Sharpie, what did you see when you were over at Disney just a couple days ago?
Well, we saw lines, very long lines, to go to the Fast Pass kiosks. I stopped and talked to a cast member at Disney's Hollywood Studios on Monday morning, and the line was beyond 40 minutes long. And they had 4 cast members out with iPads. And then in addition to the other kiosk areas located in the park, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I think that Disney took something that was so simple and easy to use and transformed it into something that you almost have to go to a theater and watch a 5-minute informational video on. I think it's ridiculous. But anyway, my opinion aside, it is, they have worked it out now to where after you use your first Fast Pass of the day that you've reserved through the My Disney Experience website, you may pick up additional Fast Passes throughout the day. However, they have not worked it out now to where you can pick those up for additional parks. It's still limited to one park. You can get additional fast passes as long as they're available. And you can pick those up at either the kiosks or at the cast members with iPads. But so far, you cannot pick them up on the app on your own. And I mean, one thing that is even has even changed a lot is the Magical Express video from the airport to the resort. It's no longer the informational on how to check in and all of that. It's just kind of the Loop Resort channel that is on within the resorts on the TVs. So that's a clear flag to me that they don't know exactly what they're doing. They don't know how to best inform guests to use the system, and they are still trying to feel their way through policies and procedures in terms of getting this tool into people's hands. Yeah. I think one of the things that shocked me most is the advertisement that's out right now with Lumiere advertising you to come be our guest and be part of the test. Disney is advertising a software
I and saw system that.
Test. I think that's a little on the tacky side, my friends.
Yeah. I mean, how long can you call it a test? How long can you say the process is in the testing phase?
Apparently a while.
It's a long while. It's going to be a year.
Testing version 7.0 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the longer they test this, it's like, really? Really? Let's stop calling it a test and let's start calling it continual adaptation.
Yeah.
But it is.
And you wait, say, 30 minutes to 45 minutes in a fast pass queue because you're staying off property to just kind of get a roll of the dice of what's left.
Exactly.
And then you get like, okay, here's three options to pick from. This one's got these, here's the rides it has, and here's the times. And then it could be like way later in the day that you're waiting for, you know, as opposed to the old system where you just went up and usually got something relatively good. And then you went to the next one and the next one and the next one. And then if you want to go back, you got to wait in another line, probably if it's busy, to see if it was to see what's left that could be way late at night.
And I think that's one of the things that I hate to use the word detest, but I think that's one of the things that I detest most is it really does remove all sort of flexibility from a Disney vacation. That may not hurt people who are going down for 4 days and they want to try to do as much as they can within those 4 days. But for people who like to casually vacation at the Walt Disney World Resort, who knows how you're going to be feeling at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday morning 4 months from now. And the ability to go in and change the fast passes, yeah, that's nice, but you're left with what's left over at that point instead of being able to go to the parks early in the morning, pick up a few fast passes throughout the first couple hours, and then kind of plan the rest of your day. Instead, they're pushing you into XYZ attractions, and this is what you're going to do while you're here.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, and as we've been going, as we've, you know, with Mouse Chat and, you know, just on our own and without fast passes, we really don't ride anything because we don't want to wait in the regular line. And if you don't have them pre-booked, I just can't see myself waiting 60 minutes or longer for some of the attractions.
No. And another thing is you have to have a smartphone to be able to adapt and use the app on the go.
Yeah.
If you don't want to wait in line for the kiosks, which the Disney needs to realize that, yes, a lot of people have smartphones, but on the same page, a lot of people do not have smartphones, especially older visitors. And I don't see it as being very friendly.
Yeah. And you could also come over from another country and not have a phone that has maybe internet access, or maybe you've got it turned off, or you don't have a SIM. You don't want to get international charges. You've got it on airplane.
That's actually
mode.
A really good point. Someone was talking to me about that recently. You know, if you're not from the US, you can't even use it. And that's even true with some Canadians with their providers. We have tons of Canadians coming. So
Well, we have tons of people from Europe and all over the world.
Right. Exactly.
It's
for people who just diverse. Don't have a smartphone, like Chris Sharp said, not everybody owns a smartphone.
Yeah.
So
only the population under 25.
Well, and to me, it almost seems like every time I think of my Disney experience and I sort of imagine this whole process, I imagine like this annoying 27-year-old going, yeah, and then we should do this. And all the older folks are in there going, okay. It's somebody who is very techie got a hold of this project and just ran with it. Well, not without realizing that not everyone is that techie.
They really did leave a lot of context out of this project.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's Tim on our Mouse Chat page left some comments about what he was thinking of. Some of the reasons they did it was because it forces people, I guess, into reservations, so they're less likely to leave the park to go to Universal or somewhere else because they've got, you know, 3 fast pass reservations already booked for Wednesday. So it's just another reason to make sure you stay and don't go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Wow. That's almost.
I agree with that to an extent, but I don't think that's enough to really keep people on site, because one day we just walked out of the parks and just left a lot of fast passes kind of on the table because the timing just didn't work out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it used to be, I mean, not even a year or so ago. You could get fast passes, and then you would, you know, you get 3 or 4 different ones, and as long as it was after that arrival time, you could go back at 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night.
I loved that.
And you would just go, and it was awesome. And then now it's, oh my God, I got to get there in between this window. I've only got 3. I got to make sure. We got to go. We got to finish eating. We got to get, you know, you're rushed and hurried, and you're trying to make your 3. So I think people aren't missing them as much because they're vested in them. So then the lines are huge and people are trying to pre-book them. So you've got everybody staying at a Disney resort now, making sure they pre-book them. And then you have to add a ton of other, you know, like B through or like A through D attractions to the list just to give people enough choices now. And now all those rides are filling up. So it's, I don't know, it's changed the whole dynamic of the whole setup. And I'm not a fan yet.
I'm a fan of it. I just think, I think it's going to take a while.
I don't like it at all. The only thing I like is being able to pay for things. What's that?
At all? That's kind of a strong statement.
No, I don't like it at all. I don't, but I'm not Lauren can testify to this because I mean, we actually room together occasionally and she's like, hey, are you going to get your magic bands? Cause I have to put my annual pass on the thing. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I don't really care to plan that much. The only thing I like about it is being able to pay for things, have my dining on there. And I will say, and I said this before when I came back from Disneyland, I thought you would go in and out of the park really quickly.
It's tough.
Well, and you like the room key aspect too. I remember you said that.
I do.
I'm not the thing. I'm not a fan about. Like if we went as a group in Mouse Chat before, we could all just go walk up to a ride, stick our tickets in, and go. Now I have
to coordinate.
Now I have to call all of you. We all have to figure out what rides we want to ride. We have to invite each other.
No, we don't.
You got to do all that.
Yeah, we do.
You kind of do.
How
do
you, no.
You can't just walk up to...
Not us, because none of you do it.
I know. We don't do it. I know.
I have a travel agent that helps me with that.
But then you have a responsible person like Lauren having to set everything up.
Yeah.
And then if you're like me, you have to have Lauren nagging you.
Well, the other problem is, we don't have our tickets. So we have our room and everything else, but we're not going to get our tickets till we go on site and pick up our tickets. So I can't even, it says, well, you don't have tickets, so you can't do your rooms. But that's why I'll get them the day of.
Dining booked.
Well, and that's going to encourage a lot of pre-sales on tickets. If people weren't, you know, if they were going to just buy them on site, and once you pre-buy your tickets, there are no refunds. You're not. I mean, you could use it later, of course, but there are
no
refunds.
That's a really good point.
And so it's kind of like gift cards. You know, people make money on gift cards that are never used. I wonder how much money Disney's making on tickets that they sell that are never used.
Because a lot of times when you get somebody with a room-only booking, they will wait to buy their tickets until they get to Disney World. Now they have to buy them ahead of time so that they can do their fast passes.
Right.
And even with the military tickets, they have to get their vouchers ahead of time or they can't add them. So like one of my military families, she went and bought her tickets, I think it was yesterday. And, you know, whereas she might have waited and gotten them at Shades of Green before, you know, because she's not leaving for another month.
Yeah,
I think it's also interesting. I mean, it is very similar to the whole gift card thing. Not only are you tying up your money in tickets that you didn't necessarily, that you may or may not use, but you're tying it up for a greater amount of time prior to travel.
Well, yeah, and
so you have to come out of pocket sooner.
Yeah, and it's and you if you want to do a 3-day or a 5-day ticket, you have to make up your mind a lot earlier, or you're not going to get any fast passes.
That's another good point, because a lot of times I tell people buy the least amount of tickets that you need, and because you can always upgrade them when you get there. Because, you know, people will be on the fence.
Like,
you
know,
they're there for
7 days,
but maybe they think they want to go over to Universal for a day. So they leave a couple days off their tickets knowing they can upgrade them later. But now they can't do that because they can't get fast passes unless
they have
tickets for that day.
But the fast pass times might be more limited.
I think something that Disney has left out of this is the fact that that people like thrive on leaving their options open, and everyone likes flexibility. Like, what would you do if you pulled up to Wendy's and you ordered the number one combo because the number one combo was the only thing on the menu? Go to Disney World. You're literally, they keep limiting your options and making it more and more difficult to vacation at Walt Disney World.
I want to be totally flexible when I go there. The only thing I really want to fast pass ahead of time is maybe Soarin' and Toy Story Midway Mania. There's nothing else I care about. So the idea that you're telling me on my vacation that, you know, tomorrow morning, even if I did my fast passes the night before, I don't like to be held to going somewhere at a certain time when I just want to be flexible with my kids. And then I have to add dining to that. So I'm going to eat at noon. And then at 1 o'clock, I have to be on, you know, Big Thunder Mountain. And then at 2:30, I have to be at Storytime with Belle. I hate that.
But it's not to say that you have to buy into this whole thing. You can go on a Disney vacation without planning your meals, without planning your tickets. You can
do it. I
know,
but then I don't get to eat anywhere really good. And then I don't get to ride anything because now I can't
but
just
that's
walk
you.
Into a
but
park and go.
As far as someone who really isn't a planner, a lot of people don't want to plan their meals ahead of time because their hunger levels vary, or they just don't want to. And so they can still have a successful Disney vacation without planning their meals ahead of time, 180 days in advance. They can have a successful vacation without...
Well, as long as their expectations of where they're eating aren't that high.
Are low.
I'm not saying it's going to be the best vacation. I'm not saying it's going to be the best vacation. But you don't have to. You don't have to do all this stuff. If you want a better vacation, you will.
It varies. It determines... Really, I think it depends on the person. If it's somebody who doesn't care about sit-down meals and they're fine with just doing quick services the whole time, which there's plenty of great quick service meals out there, I think that that type of a family will do fine with the just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah.
But I think if you're a family that really has high expectations of wanting to do Cinderella's Royal Table, Chef Mickey, you know, any of the great restaurants in Epcot, you're going to need to plan that stuff.
Right. Really agreed. Agreed. You have to be proactive on that.
It's the same with rides now, though. If you want to ride Space Mountain or Splash Mountain or Toy Story Midway Mania, you need to, just like a dining reservation, you have to pick your date and time. Because if you don't, they're going to be, unless you want to wait 90 minutes, Or roll the dice on how long you're going to wait in line and what time slot you might get.
Chris, were there fast passes available for Toy Story Mania when you were there? Sharpie.
You have to say Sharpie.
I was like, I think she may be talking to me. No, there were not. There was nothing left.
Okay. And what time did you notice that at?
We had a breakfast reservation.
So you're saying that even if I was allowed to make those fast pass reservations that morning, say I'm a day guest, I'm not getting a fast pass for Toy Story Midway Mania.
Nope.
No. Wow. And that wasn't even a super busy week, I'm guessing, even with the Princess Half.
Well, it was not only the Princess Half, but it was also the Daytona 500 weekend.
Oh, okay.
So the parks were actually pretty, they weren't like wall to wall, let's leave and go back to the resort to the pool. They were kind of moderate, I would say. Really, the weekend was kind of on par with what you'd experience maybe in early June or late August.
Okay.
I mean, they weren't horrible, but they also, I was kind of shocked that the wait time to talk to a FastPass kiosk representative was 40 minutes. I was kind of surprised by that.
That's bad. They need more representation.
Oh yeah.
So when I was there a week before, on the weekends it was like that, but on Monday morning there were no lines really at all. But I'm guessing it's more common to encounter the lines.
Because that was Monday morning at Hollywood Studios.
Oh goodness sakes! Oh my gosh! Oh, that's terrible. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
awful.
So basically, if you wanted to change your Toy Story reservation and you have no luck in doing that, and if you don't have one, you're waiting in line.
Yeah, because we booked this trip back in July, I think, and so we've been making FastPass reservations for a while, and even at that, our FastPass time for Toy Story Midway Mania was around 5 p.m.
Wow, yeah,
wow.
What are the standby lines? What were they last week?
Like 90 minutes. For your big attractions. I mean, at one point I was waiting, I was sitting on the landscaping wall there near Space Mountain to use my fast pass because I was 14 minutes early, which I hate that, by the way. And the wait time as I sat there kept dropping as more and more people flooded into the fast pass line. And it was like 30 minutes, but once I got inside, because I really did toy with the idea of I'm just going to forget about the fast pass and go standby line. But once I got inside, I was really glad I did use the fast pass because the line was all the way out to like the where the ramp slopes up toward the attraction indoors. The standby line was all the way down to the middle of that ramp.
Wow.
Where I walked all the way up practically underneath the dome inside.
Did you happen to notice if like rides that don't normally have wait times had higher wait times?
Yes. They
like
did.
Standby wait times.
Yes. Yeah. There were Pirates.
Pirates seems to be the most affected.
Pirates was about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Had a 30 minute wait time. I was really, really glad we had a fast pass for Winnie the Pooh because that wait time was really, really long. Ariel's Undersea Adventure was long. I'm trying to think of some of the other longer wait times.
What about Small World?
Small World was I like pretty much all throughout the entire weekend. I don't think I ever saw it more than 10 minutes.
Okay. That's what it normally is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what I saw too, was that, you know, Ariel, Winnie the Pooh always has a line, but Ariel had a line, which was, you know, really, you never used to see before. But then I read something on touringplans.com where they did all these, you know, they did all their little statistics and everything, and they figured out that these standby lines had in fact only increased by 1 minute based upon last year's standby lines. So maybe I'm imagining this stuff, you know, maybe it just seems longer. I mean, I know it's longer, but maybe I'm not basing it on anything other than,
well, You know, it's funny. I had a client reach out to me while they were down there, and they said, we just got to Star Tours, and the standby line is 10 minutes, and the fast pass line is 30.
Yeah.
What do we do? And I said, get in the standby line.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I wouldn't stand in the 30-minute, you know, for a fast pass. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And also, I mean, something to definitely tell clients in the future is go ahead and change your fast pass.
Right. Well, their time.
And you can.
Once your time starts, you can't change it.
Oh, their time had already started.
Yeah. They got there to get on the ride, and they were like.
Oh.
So now I've been telling.
So then they lost a fast pass.
Right. I've been telling all my clients basically now, check it before your time starts running on the app and see what the wait times are.
That's smart.
So are the wait times on the app, are those accurate?
Yeah, those are pretty accurate.
Yeah.
At least they were when I was there.
Because they're
updated
actively.
But can you get the app to work in the park?
Yes.
So have you – okay, so you've had luck with that? Because I've tried to use it in the park and not been able to get it to work.
Did you log into their Wi-Fi, Chris? Got to log into their Wi-Fi.
Maybe.
It works better. Okay. It works better that way.
All righty. God knows.
Lisa, let's move on to the next one.
Okay. I'm going to like this one. I want to talk about the hub, the new Magic Kingdom hub.
Oh, gosh. Can I ask you a question? Do we know if that's for certain or not? Or is this just gossip?
I don't know.
I think it's pretty promising gossip at this point. I don't think it's for certain.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to call it a rumor, though.
Let's call it a rumor.
Okay, I couldn't quite figure out like what was going on.
Right. I think it could be a good idea. I don't like the way they're going about it.
All right,
but
so what are we talking about?
Oh,
can you explain it to
me? You want to talk about that? looks like they are planning to improve the walkways and the pathways for pedestrian traffic in the Magic Kingdom. They're going to be making essentially you've got the hub, which is like a wheel, and so there's kind of a circle in front of the castle, and it branches off like spokes into the different lands. This gets very congested. All of the bridges get congested. There's a lot of people there. Everything gets congested. And so what they're trying to do is create new pathways, and part of the idea is to create a secondary circle around the hub to control a lot of the traffic. Is that what you guys are getting out of this?
Yeah.
Yep.
It looks nice.
It looks interesting. And a lot of the Main Street traffic can be diverted.
Remember, Chris, we were all there. Weren't we there like during fireworks or a show or something? And we were trying to walk around with...
We've had some awful times. Chris, you've been there with us.
I think Brett was there and a couple of us were there.
Oh, I couldn't find you guys.
It was ridiculous.
We were hiding.
It was dark. And
it was
just wall to wall people, and it took forever to squeeze through all those people.
Well, and we had a stroller.
Oh yeah, and you had to try to roll the stroller, and people were sitting down. And
oh gosh, I remember that with the stroller.
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah. And then we ended up going like all the way over to Adventureland to try to cut back around, just to try to get through all those people.
Well, you think you can outsmart them? And sometimes you can, because people are just heading toward the heading toward the light, to the light, let's go, you know, herd of cattle, and you think you know a better way around, and sometimes you do if you head up toward Crystal Palace or something like that. But the sheer volume of people on some of those nights is scary. It's so intimidating.
Here's the biggest issue, though. You're still pushing everyone down Main Street. And Main Street isn't getting any bigger.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So, I mean,
are taking away the grassy areas, though, and putting in walkways. So they are putting in additional areas for people to walk on and stand on.
So really,
I don't like
this.
You know what?
I don't like
this. Wait. Hold on. Too many. Sharpie.
So really, they're making the problem worse, because you're going to concentrate more people in a single area, but you're not going to increase the size of the exit.
No, you're increasing the veins to the main exit.
Well,
but
also,
I think it'll be less crowded.
Building,
I mean, you'll be more comfortable, I think.
You'll be more comfortable watching the fireworks show.
Right.
Because you have twice as much or even more space to watch. Because there's a second circle.
Hold on, Chris. We keep cutting Chris off. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, and there's that thoroughfare that's going to go around the side, right? So they have that. They'll have that open.
But you still have one entrance. You still have one entrance to go through.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I
do
think that people are going to be more comfortable. They're not going to. They're going to have more space around them.
Yeah, it doesn't solve the Main Street. It doesn't solve the Main Street issue, but it solves...
And it doesn't solve the time issue, but it'll make you more comfortable, and I think less ankles are going to be knocked by strollers and less pushing and, you know, elbow to elbow. It's just not... It's not comfortable. It's very crammed.
Well, and it also opens up more Fast Pass Plus viewing areas.
Special, yeah.
That they can do for people that are pre-booking.
Because they said that they're going to put... AstroTurf and let people stand in these areas like during the Fast Pass or during the fireworks, right? Those will be like special areas.
Yep.
I really hate the idea, by the way. I don't like, you know, I saw the mock-ups online. I hate the way it looks.
No, I was just going to say, I don't like the fact that they're taking a lot of the foliage and the trees out.
Me too. I think that's what makes the Magic Kingdom really special. Otherwise, you have that kind of blah hub that they have
cement
in Disneyland.
Kingdom.
Well, that's what they're
doing. Yeah.
And then they, you know, they might, maybe they're thinking of doing a show like they have at Disneyland Paris where they're going to do something with the castle and make it into a, you know, a kind of spectro-magic show on the castle at night. And then they need more viewing area for that. But it definitely clears up that congestion area. And then what they could do, what they have at Disneyland Paris on Main Street is they have three... basically alleyways to get down Main Street, which makes that park perfect. So you have Main Street that you would walk down, and then behind the shops on the left and behind the shops on the right is what they call an arcade, which is a whole nother covered area that's almost as wide as Main Street that also lets you enter all of the shops from the back and has, you know, dining and seating and art exhibits and things like that. And it's all covered and air-conditioned, heated, so you get out of the weather. And then when the event's over.
So you think doing something like that at Disney World with that side exit thing?
I don't know. That would be nice, but I don't think they don't have a lot of room. Because on the right, well, on the right-hand side is that cast member parking lot, so they could maybe get away with it on the right-hand side. Because they let people out that way sometimes.
Well, they've got to maintain the magic, though.
Big crowds, so they could put an arcade thing like that in there, like they have at Disneyland Paris, to make it nice. On the left is a very small parking lot, and Jungle Cruise is like pretty much almost butted up right up against there. So, but I mean, if and who knows? I'm sure they've probably thought of it, but if they're going to spend the money and do it, and if it what they would have to move to do it, I don't know if it's feasible. But at least they're addressing one of the issues around watching the fireworks. But again, it does take away from the aesthetics and how nice all that landscaping is. And the moat would pretty much go away.
I'll miss it. I liked the moat.
It's something that
I
we
liked
always,
all of it.
Yeah. And actually, on our trip this time, I was just looking, thinking, my gosh, that is so, it's such a beautiful area. And then to have, then to see that news and be like, oh, what in the world?
Yeah.
Some of my favorite pictures are taken from that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of really good pictures from there. You can get a bunch of different photos of the castle with all that landscaping and water.
Well, maybe they'll just minimize it and still have some of the effect there because it is very picturesque. Lauren, let's talk about the parade.
The new Festival of Fantasy 3 o'clock parade in the Magic Kingdom. We're hearing rumors that that is going to start on March 9th. They've released a lot of the floats and pictures of the floats and stuff. It looks like it's going to be pretty cool. But that was it. I just wanted to put that out to everybody so everybody knows it's coming up pretty soon, hopefully.
I have mixed feelings about new parades because I really like the old ones. And of course, the new ones become the old ones, and I like those. So I just have to give them time.
I think this looks really sharp.
Ugh, again. So, you know what? I don't like anything tonight. I don't like the fans. I don't like the parade, and I don't like that hub thing.
I don't like the parade. Did you see the
pictures
Brave?
I've seen?
The Brave one?
Yeah.
Chris, did you miss some medication or something?
I did. I missed my meds tonight. No, I just think it doesn't look very Disney. You know? It doesn't. I don't know.
The Rapunzel one looks pretty cool, too.
Okay, well, all I saw were the costumes, and the costumes were just, I don't know, they were awful.
Some of the costumes are kind of loud. They're very awesome. There's like a circus one, and...
Yeah, I hated that one.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't like it.
Stop changing my happy place. Just stop it. Leave it the way it was.
Have to evolve with it.
No, I've evolved enough. I evolved enough when they added the DVC at the Grand Floridian. I don't need any more change for a while. You want to change something? Add better food. Cronuts in every park.
And please remind everyone what a cronut is.
A cronut is a cross between a croissant and a donut. It's the perfect donut.
Did you hear her tone of voice completely change?
She's back in her happy place. She may have melted a little while she said that.
I did. Just like Olaf.
And started salivating.
Oh. And you can get a cronut at Epcot, right?
Just like Sven.
Yes, you can get one at Epcot, Steve. Okay. You should get one next time. Maybe it will sweeten you up, Crabby. It's just like, and you can get a cronut at Epcot, right?
Yes,
Steve.
All right, let's go.
All right,
Lisa.
Okay, so the last thing we're going to talk about is the Mine Train. How's it coming, Sharpie? What do you know?
It is looking phenomenal. The landscaping is beautiful. I would say the landscaping is probably 70% there. They still have some work to do. We overheard someone inquiring to one of the cast members, and they said that it should be open for some early phase testing within the next 2 weeks.
Really?
That's what the cast member was saying.
Well, that makes sense.
What?
Chris is going to be out there stalking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I can't guarantee that I won't. Okay. In the next 2 weeks, did you say they're going to do soft openings?
That's what the cast member said.
Okay. Well, I don't believe that cast member, but if it were true, I don't know. I really want to just go down there.
I actually read that they're predicting based on past soft openings, like when they started to soft open past rides that were new. They're predicting that March 13th is the date they'll start.
I think kind of fits that timeline.
I think any way you look at it, Chris, it's going to be open when we get there.
I don't think it's going to be open. I think it'll be soft.
Okay, so
but they'll see the tears in your eyes and they'll let you in.
Yeah, I predict that if it opens, I always tell my husband. I always say, look. That Prius can get to Disney World on one tank of gas. I might want to test that theory. So,
okay.
If you ride that Mine Train before me, I will never talk to you again.
Oh, honey, if it's open, if it's opening in the next couple of weeks, I'll be down there and ride it before you. You're gonna have to suck it up.
Just throwing it out there to you.
That's okay. There are plenty of other agents who will hang out with me.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? Normally I break this up, but I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. No, I need to go. I've waited for this for, I don't know how long, a couple years.
Oh my gosh.
What if it's a scary ride, though? Then I can't go on it.
Well, it's not going to be scary. Then you need me. See, you do need me.
That is true. As long as it's not as bad as like Space Mountain, I'll be okay.
I heard it's worse.
Oh, stop.
Oh,
okay,
Lauren. That was a very sly one, right? That you just spit in there.
It would kind of be fun for you know what though, because never mind. We'll have to talk about this later because we're going to get in trouble for digressing.
No digressing.
I'm letting it go. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
That'll be a very in-depth conversation.
I know. I know. This is, do you know what we talk about every day? Don't we? Like 90% of what we talk about is dorky Disney stuff. And we talk constantly. We have problems. Okay. Let's go.
Steve is sighing.
Yeah. Steve's giving me the rolling the fingers. Let's go roll it
Does
up.
Does he do that? Does he roll the fingers? You know what? I've never seen that. Next time I see you, Steve, could you do that so I can have a proper visual?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'll do it for you.
Well, and I think you need to make a video for the mouse chat page.
I have the hand signals that Lisa and I do at each other. And the glances.
Well, and the glances where he rolls his eyes up, where he's like, come on, get this
going.
Do you
roll your eyes? Are you rolling your eyes when I talk?
Every time, Chris.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just like a constant thing I do.
Well, and we should probably mention, too, that we're hearing rumors that the official opening date for the Mine Train.
Which is?
We've heard that the official opening date is going to be April 30th, I believe.
Well, is that the official date?
Rumor.
That's the media. The media thing, right?
Yeah, it's going to be April 30th. That's what they're saying, though.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean the media thing that we didn't get invited to?
That
Thank you, Disney.
Thing.
Well, that's not going to get you in. You're like, thank you, Disney. No. Please, Disney, please don't forget Mouse Chat.
Well, they've already sent out the invitations.
Well, then, thanks, Disney.
Yeah, they sent out the invitations. Yeah, thanks, Disney. Well, and sweetness doesn't work, so maybe sarcasm. Maybe they like to be mistreated.
Maybe they need the snarky. Give them the snarky, Chris. Give them the snarky.
That's right. All right, we better continue. Because I know he's rolling his fingers and rolling his eyes.
There's a lot of rolling going on.
I think that wraps up this week's show. I'm going to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. And I'm going to let you know that if you like our podcasts, you can download them at iTunes and also at mousechat.net. I'm going to let you know that if you've got some comments and questions for us, you can write to us at comments@mousechat.net. Please join us again next time on Mouse Chat.